नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text 20. Apahata sakaleshana malatmani Avirata medhita bhavano pahuta Nija janavasha gatvam atmanoyan Nasarati chidravat akshara satami Apahata, vanquished Sakala, all Eshana, desires Amala, spotless, Atmani, to the mind, Aviratam, constantly, Edhita, increasing, Bhavana, with feeling, Upahuta, being called, Nijajana, of his devotees, Vasha, under the control, Gatvam, going, Atmana, his, Ayan, knowing, Na, never, Sarati, goes away, Chidravat, like the sky, Akshara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satam, of the devotees, he, certainly. Translation, being completely cleansed of all material desires, the devotees, thank you, are freed from all mental contamination. Thus they can always think of the Lord constantly and address him very feelingly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing himself to be controlled by his devotees, does not leave them for a second, just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. It is clear purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It is clear from the previous verse that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardhan, is very quickly satisfied by the activities of his devotees. The pure devotee is always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated, Srinivatam Svakatha Krishna, by always thinking of Krishna, the pure devotee's heart is freed from all kinds of desires. In the material world, the heart of the living entity is filled with material desires. When the living entity is cleansed, he does not think of anything material. As the mind is completely cleansed, one attains the perfectional stage of mystic yoga, for then the yogi always sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart. Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. As soon as the Lord is seated within the heart of the devotee cannot be contaminated by the material modes of nature. As long as one is under the control of the material modes, he desires so many things and makes so many plans for material sense enjoyment, but as soon as the Lord is perceived in the heart, all material desires vanish. When the mind is completely free from material desire, the devotee can think of the Lord constantly. In this way, he becomes completely dependent upon the Lord, upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, ऐ नन्दतनुज किङ्करं पतितं मां विषमे भवां बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्कज स्थितधूलिसदृशीं विचिन्तय. My dear Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen in the ocean of this material world. Kindly pick me up and fix me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Sikshastaka 5. Similarly, Srila Narottam Das Thakur prays, Ha ha Prabhu Nanda Suta Vrishabhanu Sutayuta Karuna Karahaya Bara Narottam Dasakaya Na Thiliharanga Paya Toma Bina Keachi Amara. My dear Lord, you are now present with the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Srimati Radharani. Now both of you please be merciful upon me. Don't kick me away because I have no shelter other than you. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes dependent on his devotee. The Lord is invincible, yet he is conquered by his pure devotee. He enjoys being dependent on his devotee, just as Krishna enjoyed being dependent on the mercy of Mother Yashoda. Thinking himself dependent on the devotee gives the Supreme Lord great enjoyment. Sometimes a king may engage a joker, and in the process of joking, the king is sometimes insulted. The king, however, enjoys these activities. Everyone worships the Supreme Lord with great reverence. Therefore, the Lord sometimes wants to enjoy the chastisement of his devotees. In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and his In this way, the relationship eternally existing between the Lord and his devotees is fixed, just like the sky overhead. So once more, the translation of the verse. Being completely cleansed of all material desires, the devotees are freed from all mental contamination. Thus, they can always think of the Lord constantly and address him very feelingly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing himself to be controlled by his devotees, does not leave them for a second, just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. So Prabhupada uses here the analogy of the sky that is over our head, and it never becomes invisible. It's like I was reading the Hari Bhakti Kalpa Latika, and it is mentioned that the Lord is everywhere. So sometimes it's hard to imagine how the Lord is everywhere. But the analogy was given by the writer that the writer is unknown, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj translated it in from Bengali to Hindi. So just as we go from one room to another room, all rooms are, they have a space, they have air. So the air is here, the air is in the other room, the air is outside. Everywhere we go, there is air. We don't think of it, but it is there. So this analogy was given to explain how we should understand that Krishna is everywhere. We don't think about it, but he's there. We don't think about, well, this room is filled with air, isn't it? I haven't thought about it before when I came in the temple room. This room is filled with air. So even the next room, we don't go and thinking, I'm going to the Leela room, and that Leela room is filled with air. But it is. And we cannot imagine if it wasn't filled with air. You know, the status of not having air is called vacuum. I think you know that all, huh? So it's not that we all of a sudden go in the lila room and there is a vacuum, you know. So this is how we can understand that Krishna is everywhere. So it's such a logical thing that air is everywhere. And this is the same way how we should understand that Krishna is everywhere. So in the same way, we should understand also that we are part and parcel of Krishna, because, you know, Krishna is our eternal Father, and we are part and parcel of Him. We don't, you know, we are not conscious of it every minute, and maybe not every day, or every week, or every month, or every year. Maybe sometimes we read it, yeah, of course, I know. Yeah, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Okay, next sentence. So, but how big part are we of Krishna? It is described in the Shastras, in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. So does anybody know how big part we are of Krishna? Yes, the Bhagavad Gita 2.17 in the purport, Prabhupada mentions Shvetashvata Upanishad 5.9 Balagra Shata Bhagasya Shatadaha Kalpitasya Cha Bhago Jiva Savigheya Sa Chanantaya Kalpate. So, I don't know what is meant, said, but the English is, when the upper point of a hair is divided into 100 parts, and again, each of such parts is further divided into 100 parts, each such part is the measurement of the dimension of the spirit soul. So, you know, I can look at the tip of my hair. I know many Prabhus cannot. Of course, when you pull out one, then you can. So the upper point of a hair. So if you really look, nowadays I need glasses to see something fine. So if you can use either glasses or your healthy eyes, then you can see the tip of the hair. You know, it's barely visible, isn't it? And then you have to divide that in 100 parts. So even dividing that in two parts is something like, Hare Krishna. But in 100 parts. So imagine how big that 100 part would be. Think about it for a moment. And again, that 100 part, you divide it again in 100 parts. It's unimaginable, tiny, small. You know, it's actually no use. We cannot imagine with our mind the vastness of the universum and the smallness of the soul. We cannot imagine, because our intelligence just give up at the first 100 part. What about the second 100 part? So we have our limitations. But even with that small, such a teeny, teeny, small part, we are capable of moving this mass, this body, you know. My body is about, I think, something like 60, 62 kg. And, you know, other bodies are lighter. Some bodies are heavier. So with that very, very small part, we can lift this body, we can move it, we can, you know, we can use it, we can utilize it. We can utilize, with my body, I can easily lift something of 10 kg without, you know, without feeling it too heavy. So with this very small particle, that particle has the power to lift this, to lift something else, to do things, you know. So how can you explain that scientifically? It's, you know, it's very difficult to explain. But still, it is there. It is, it's happening every day. So that's why Krishna, because as we are part and parcel of Krishna, you know, we are just like nothing. And Krishna is the whole. Yeah? So that's why he didn't have any trouble lifting as a seven-year-old, the Gordon Hill, isn't it? For him, it was like nothing, because for us, as tiny sparks or specks or, you know, whatever you can call it, we can lift 60, 70, or maybe 80 kilo, or we can utilize it. So, you know, what about him? He is, you know, he is the source of us. And Prabhupada mentioned in a morning walk, May 3rd, in 1973 in LA, he said, "The aeroplane is a big machine. It is flying, but under the direction of a small spiritual spark, the driver, the pilot." You see, so even that small spark can fly a machine that is so immensely big with so many other people in it. You know, we have all flown before, isn't it? So many people in the airplane. And next to the people, there are also luggages. And sometimes luggages are overweight, of course, more than the 20 kg that we are allowed to. So we snuck some more kg. And that is being transported by this tiny spark of the pilot. So Prabhupada is continuing. How you can deny? So as the small spiritual spark can direct a so-called gigantic plane, similarly, the big spiritual spark is directing this whole cosmic manifest. So what is the difficulty to understand? You cannot say that without that spiritual spark, the airplane can be operated. You cannot say. That is not possible. You prove that. Without that spiritual spark, this big 747 airplane will... You cannot prove that. Where is your proof? You have to put that small spiritual spark first. First of all, the pilot body. Now, within that body, Krishna says, Asmin dehe dehino asmin yatha dehe kamaram tatha dehantaram. There is dehina. There is a proprietor of this body. So that proprietor is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Very, very small atomic. On account of that atomic spiritual energy, there is working. This is bare fact. That small atomic spiritual energy is within this body, and therefore the body is working, and therefore the plane is working. So where is the difficulty to understand? So this, with this we can, you know, understand very easily that it is not such a miracle to, you know, for Krishna to lift the Gordon Hill, what to speak of our, you know, small universe, small earth. For him, it's not a big thing. So as we are part and parcel of Krishna, you know, Krishna has desires, as Prabhupada mentions here. So we also have desires. Because the analogy is given of the ocean and the drop. Water from the ocean. The ocean has its qualities, but the drop of water from the ocean has the same qualities. Yet the quantity is limited. So also our desires are there. Prabhupada mentions in Message of Godhead, This living spirit remains within the body just like a tiny dose of a potent medicine. The soul spreads its presence all over the body, and thus we can understand the sensitivity we experience to even the slightest touch of any part of the body is due to the spreading of this living spirit throughout the body. But when this minute quantity of living spark is gone from the body, then the body lies dead. It cannot feel the slightest pain, even if hacked by an axe. So that tiny spot that we can't even see with our eyes, with our tools, if that tiny spark just leaves this body, imagine how fragile this body is, then we are finished. Then we see the body, but for us it has no significance. Then we want to get rid of it. All of a sudden it's a burden. So here Prabhupada clearly explains that also when as long as the spiritual spark is there, we can feel emotions, we can feel desires, just like Krishna has desires, has emotions. So this is how it is. This is the whole explanation of who we are and why we are like this, why we are feeling, why we have desires. And this is called the absolute truth. There is no other way of looking at it and explaining it differently. No matter from which angle you look at it, no matter what perspective you use, this is the absolute truth. The absolute truth is that if the spark is there, the body is functioning. It is called life. But when the spark leaves, bas, it's finished. So yesterday I was thinking about this part where Krishna was where Prabhupada is mentioning that that Krishna wants to enjoy, and he enjoys being dependent on the mercy of his mother, and I was thinking also we want to enjoy. I want to enjoy, And I'm very honest in it. I want to enjoy. This is a desire that is in us. It's a quality that we have. We cannot deny that quality. Because the quality is in Krishna. We cannot deny the fact that we have desires. But how much can we enjoy. I want to give a little example. I was working for like 20 years in hospitals, and sometimes, in hospitals people die, and sometimes people become so grieved with the loss of their beloved that they faint. They feel so sad, so immensely sad, that their system cannot handle it. And then some bodily systems, they shut down just for security reasons. They just, so they faint. So our system, our bodily system, we are limited. And the quantity of desire, what we can handle, is limited. Sometimes someone is in so much anger, I don't know if you have experienced it before, someone is in so much anger that you think, wow, his eyes will either pop out or he will explode or something. I don't know if you have seen that before, but it is really amazing to see the amount of anger, what it can do to our body. So if we don't accept our limitations, then our desires, you know, will kill us actually, will make our bodily systems fail. And this is happening nowadays in the material world. Huh? Nowadays it's like, you know, you have desires, you enjoy, yeah? You turn on television, you read newspapers, magazine, and so on. It's all about enjoying. You are in the center, you enjoy. Enjoy to the max. Just do it. Enjoy. But if we don't know our limitations, then that same enjoyment will become poison. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer because he doesn't have limitations. You know, he can enjoy. We enjoy the care of our mother. We can handle that. But Krishna needs many mothers because he wants to enjoy. He doesn't have limitations. That's why he has so many wives. That's why he has so many friends, because he can handle that. We cannot handle. You know, there is this so-called friends, you know, that you have through Facebook. And if you, you know, if you can handle your friends on Facebook, then it's very good, because as I see nowadays, you cannot even handle your friends on Facebook. Everybody is friends. Then you have to give quality time to your friends. But nowadays, these friends are very superficial because you don't have the time to invest in the relationship of a friend. So the friend relationship becomes dry, becomes just a word, just an expression. Yeah, so I know that when we were young, we had friends for life, you know. We had quality friends, not quantity friends. We had quality friends, you know, and that friend would do everything for you and you would do everything for that friend. But it's not like that anymore, because we want to have a lot of friends, but we cannot give because we don't have the capacity to invest that, you know, to give the energy, the right energy to the friendship. But if we are sad, so that means that Krishna is also the, you know, has the ability to be immensely sad, because if he is the origin of our of desire, so he should have that desire also. Otherwise, you know, we are supreme than him. But he is the supreme person. So that means that if we are sad, then he is unimaginably sad. So why should he be sad? Why is Krishna sad? Can we think of one reason why he is sad? Prabhu? I think so. Prabhu? Maybe also he is sad because we want to enjoy ourselves at the cost of other children of him. You know, some of us have children, and if one child wants to enjoy and kills the other child, how sad will you be? How sad will Krishna, isn't Krishna, you know, when we want to enjoy our tongue and kill a cow or something else? You know, how immensely sad can he, you know, we cannot handle it. He can be sad because we have forgotten that he is our father and that he is waiting for us, you know, every day, every minute that we turn our face towards him. And not only every day, and he waits, and he thinks maybe in this life my child will look back to me or will appreciate my loving feeling towards him. maybe next life. And he waits, hopefully, very patiently. He is also sad because we are envious of him. We are envious of our own father. That's why we want to lord. We want to, you know, of course we have this lording desire also because we are part and parcel. But if you don't understand the relationships, then we are using it wrongly. Because we enjoy his creation without being grateful or without acknowledging that he is giving us, that he is providing us. So, I think there are so many reasons for him to be sad. And so immensely sad. If we are sometimes sad, we should think of Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada is mentioning here that we should always think of him. So even if we are sad, we should think of the sadness that Krishna has. Think of how sad he is and then compare your own sadness, you know. But Krishna is also happy, isn't it? And he is so supremely happy, we cannot imagine how happy he is. You know, if we are very, very happy, our body parts start shaking, tears come from our eyes, and he is so much happier. So why should he be happy? Kumar, you know one reason why Krishna could be happy? Yes, very good. Yes. He's happy also when we try to follow his instructions as mentioned in the Shastras that he's giving us. That's why he promises us that, you know, after so long waiting, hopefully and patiently, if we finally take one step, then he does 10 steps or 100 steps towards us. He's so happy, you know. He's so happy when we spread indeed his glories to others, that we make others understand the relationship between them and Krishna. And he's also happy when we glorify his dear devotees, and we glorify others that have made devotees or created devotees. He's also happy when we protect cows. He's very happy. He's very happy when we protect vulnerable children, elderly people, women. He's very happy. He's also very, very happy when we try to offer food to him. Nice cooked food, very tasty. And then he gets it first to eat, you know. When Krishna receives a gift from us, I was dressing Lalita Vishaka Nikunja Mataji was going to dress Radha Gopinath, and someone had given a gift to Radha Gopinath, and she said, I'm going to use it immediately because I think that he will like it. When he receives a gift, he wants to use it immediately, you know. So I was like, yes, that's nice. So, yes, we want to, you know, when we receive a very nice gift, we want to, you know, we want to either wear it or whatever gift it is, you know. If we have nice shoes, especially when, you know, when I give my children a gift, they want to use it immediately and to be very, you know. So, this is also Krishna. So, next time when we are happy, we should also think, you know, Krishna can also be happy. How can I share my happiness with him? So, yeah, this is about the qualities of Krishna. And one thing is also, why he is happy if we try to always remember him in everything we do. In every feeling that we have, we try to see the origin of the feeling and how he is related to us. So, I want to finish my class. There was a remark of Gopal Hari in his last class about salt. And, you know, when someone goes to someone's home, they take sweet but not salt. They are careful for it. I know that is also, you know, in Suriname, the habit, because salt represents the sweat, the labor, you know. Salt is also the taste of blood. So if you go to someone and you, not it is because the person is attached to a salt pot or whatever, but if you use the person's salt, that means that you are indebted to that person because the person has done labor for it, labor for whatever he has created, his house or whatever. So in Hindu tradition is that you should be loyal to the person where you use salt or when you eat salt. So that was something I wanted to share. So, Bas, are there questions, comments? Always thinking of Krishna, very good. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Gopinath ki jai.